Good morning. We're so grateful that you have chosen to join us today for the Word for Life radio ministry. We want to talk this morning about the first Thanksgiving story. For 2 months, 102 people lived on the ships, wedged between the decks. 5.5 feet of clearing is all they had. They comforted themselves by singing the Psalms. And it was said that their noise of singing irritated a crew member so badly that he told them that he looked forward to throwing their dead bodies overboard after they died of all their illnesses. Now, sadly, he was the only one who died on the entire trip. There was a little-known fact. The Mayflower previously carried cargoes of wine, and the wine spillage had soaked the ship's beams, acting as a disinfectant. That prevented the spread of disease. And so God had prepared that ship for those people. Now, one time during a horrible storm, the main beam of the mast cracked. Death and disaster seemed to be their immediate fate, but one of the pilgrims had brought a huge iron screw for a printing press. And with that large iron screw, he repaired the beam, and they continued on their journey. They were 66 days at sea. Finally, they landed at Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Now, the pilgrims had originally wanted to land in Northern Virginia, but the winds had blown them off course, and also other Englishmen who wanted to settle in Northern Virginia had bribed the sailors to land these pilgrims somewhere else. Again, this was God's providence. Because had they landed near the Hudson River in Virginia, they may well have been attacked by violent Indians. But there were no violent Indians present when they landed at Cape Cod. Because many years before, some Frenchmen who were fishing in the Cape Cod had been captured by these Indians. As they were about to be killed, the Frenchmen told the Indians that God would be mad with them and destroy them all and replace them with another nation if they killed them. Well, the Indians told them their God could never harm them, and so they killed them. But when the pilgrims landed in this region, they found that the lands had been cleared, the fields cultivated, but most of those Indians who had killed the Frenchmen had died from a plague a year or two earlier. Later, Squanto, one of those Indians, came back. He could speak English and would teach them how to plant corn. He, of course, taught them how to plant corn, but they also planted the gospel in his heart. He died within a year or two of his helping the pilgrims, but not before trusting the Lord as his personal Savior. Now, the other Indians who had met the pilgrims were impressed with their God. The summer of 1621, there was a terrible drought that persisted, and it just did not rain at all. The pilgrims finally called for a day of fasting and prayer. And by the end of the day, it was raining. Now, it wasn't a hard rain that would have destroyed the corn, but it was a gentle rain. And the Indians said that when they powwowed for rain, it always was a hard rain and their crops were destroyed. You can imagine the amazement of the pilgrims' God through these Indians. And so there was a feast of thanksgiving, praising God for his provision, his protection, and his sovereignty. Now, we're celebrating Thanksgiving very soon. What kind of Thanksgiving are you going to have? You may say, well, you know, Pastor Greg, things have been pretty lean. Some folks say that they have seen their 401k become a 101k. I understand how that works. And sometimes because of the circumstances, sometimes because of the political scene, it's hard to be thankful. So the question is, are you thankful? Have you chosen to praise God? How can you be thankful when things are going rough, like they may be in your life? Well, I want to consider Ruth in the Bible. In Ruth chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible tells us that she became a young widow. She, of course, was a Moabite. She had married a Jewish young man. And then when her husband died, and her father-in-law died, and her brother-in-law died, her mother-in-law decided that she was going to go back to the land of Israel, back to Bethlehem. Now, it would have been normal for her to have said goodbye to her mother-in-law and just stayed in her own country. I mean, that would have been the best place for her to find another husband, in her own country. Because anywhere else, she'd have been a foreigner. Much more difficult. But she decided to leave her future to the God of the future. Do you remember what she said in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 16? She said, "Entreat me not to leave thee," she's talking to her mother-in-law, "or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge." Now notice this, "Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." And so she loved God more than she loved her own mother, more than she loved her own dad, more than she loved her own people. She had seen something special in the God of the Jews. She had heard something special about this Jehovah God. And she had decided to leave her future to the God of the future. Sounds like a good idea, doesn't it? She was willing to live and die in a foreign country where she could serve her new Lord. Now, Ruth 1, 19 and 20 tells us that she was living, though, with a bitter woman. You remember Naomi? After her husband died and her two boys died, Naomi became a very bitter woman. In fact, when she came back home to Bethlehem, she was so racked with bitterness that the ladies of the city saw her and said, "Is this Naomi?" "Certainly not," is what they were thinking. And she said to them, "Don't call me Naomi," which means pleasant, "but call me Mara," which means bitter, "for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." And so here we see that Ruth is living with a bitter woman. Have you ever been living with someone who is bitter and angry and just mad at the world? You may say, "Pastor Greg, I totally understand that." Yes, I have. I guess the question that I have written in the margin of my Bible beside that account of the people not even recognizing Naomi is, am I so bitter at times that I'm not even recognizable as a Christian? Well, that's quite a question, isn't it? Am I so bitter that I'm not even recognizable as a Christian? We're entering into Thanksgiving season, but you know what God wants us to be doing? He wants us to be giving thanks not just the week of Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving Day or Thanksgiving month. God wants us in everything to give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians. And so here we see Ruth returning with her mother-in-law. Chapter 2 and verse 2, she was willing to serve as a field servant to be a blessing to Naomi, that bitter woman. But then we come to verses 11 and 12, and Boaz, in whose field she just happened to find herself, Boaz said to her, "It hath fully been shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother in the land of your nativity, and you have come unto a people which thou knewest not before. The Lord recompense thy work." In other words, may the Lord pay you back, Boaz was saying, "and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." And so we see then that because of her spirit, her rejoicing, her attitude, that testimony had already gone forth. And Boaz had already heard that testimony of the gracious care that she was giving to Naomi, and it attracted his grace. It attracted his compassion. And what a beautiful story it is that, yes, she was a beautiful young lady, but her inward character was the thing that just definitely touched him. It was a story of romance and marriage and children, all in the line of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here's Ruth. She's lost her husband. She's lost her family. She's lost everything, but she's decided to trust her future to the God of the future. Somebody said it this way, "You never trust in the security of the anchor until you've tested the severity of the storm." You never trust in the security of the anchor until you're tested by the severity of the storm. What kind of storm are you going through? Is it hard for you to even consider being grateful and giving thanks this Thanksgiving? Let me tell you something. When we develop a praising spirit, it's a choice. It's a choice. And to simply say, I'm going to start praising instead of having a pitiful spirit. You choose praising spirit or pitiful spirit. Years ago, I heard a song that went something like this. It's amazing what praising can do. Alleluia, alleluia. It's amazing what praising can do. Alleluia. I don't worry when things go wrong. Jesus fills my heart with a song. It's amazing what praising can do. Alleluia. And my precious friend, it is amazing what praising could do. The pilgrims could look back and begin to see, day by day, step by step, how the providence of God guided them and protected them, provided for them, kept them well. But you see, when you serve a living God, you can become a living testimony. So what's your Thanksgiving going to be like this year? Is it going to be one of complaining and moaning and groaning? Or is it going to be one of praising? I want to encourage you today, make a decision right now that you're going to do more than watch football and eat turkey and do all of the regular things that unsaved people do on Thanksgiving. But instead, you're going to make it a day of rejoicing. I would encourage you to make a list of things that you can begin to rejoice about. And before you eat your Thanksgiving dinner together with your family or wherever you are, why don't you go around the table and just give folks an opportunity to say what they're thankful for. One year at Thanksgiving, we had a Thanksgiving tree, and we hung various little paper ornaments on that tree. And on each one of the little paper ornaments, there was a name of a teacher or a dear friend or whatever. And we asked each person to go and take this ornament off the tree and then tell us the story of why they were thankful for that special teacher or that dear friend or maybe a pastor that had been a blessing to them or a very good a mentor for them. And it was amazing. That Thanksgiving dinner, yeah, it kind of got a little cold. Oh, but let me tell you something. Our hearts were warmed as we heard testimony after testimony around our Thanksgiving table of who God really is and how much He loves His children. My friends, make that your kind of Thanksgiving this year. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.